Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Such a wonderful place. And can I tell you, as I walked in here this morning, I just kept hearing, feeling the word freedom. This is a place of freedom. I don't know how you've come here this morning, but can I tell you, you're in a place of freedom. Keep coming back to this place. Keep coming back to the house of God. And then I hear those testimonies. My heart is just like, there it is. People who were once bound will come into this place and they will be released into a glorious and wonderful and magnificent future. You are in a good place here this morning. This is the house of God. And it is good to be here. Pastor Andy leading worship before. I've known Andy for about 16 or 17 years. It's always good to see a familiar face and your beautiful team and your wonderful campus pastors. Why don't we give them up for them? They're incredible. Do you know what's good? They love you. They only want the best for you. They want to see your best future. And they're going to sow their lives into that. And they are incredible. And I actually got an image for your pastor, Pastor Matt, here. This morning when I was praying, it was almost like there was bundles of things falling from heaven. They were like little bundles. And I saw you kind of catching them. And I saw your hands full. But then I saw another one come. And I don't know any other pastor in the world that could do this. But you actually stuck out your back leg. And you caught it on the leg. And you were like balancing. But you had it covered. You're a man of huge capacity, and I believe that God's with you. Might feel a little shaky at times, but you're not going to fall down. He is with you. He is for you. He is using you in a mighty and magnificent way. Yeah, let's give it up for God, for Pastor Matt. Outstanding. Outstanding. Well, thank you, team. You can take your seats. I tell you what, it is wonderful to be back. I've actually attended C3 San Diego once. And it was when the church was 4 weeks old. I've actually got an image I think we can put up on the screen of church, what it looked like. This is the last time I was with you, week 4 of C3 San Diego. There we are. Apart from Pastor Matt, was anyone else there? I was there. Oh, some other hands. Come on, let's give it up for those that have been here since the start. Wonderful. We're in a hotel somewhere, weren't we? And I think a week or two before, there was a double booking and your church, under your great leadership and pastoring of Pastor Jürgen and Leanne, decided, it's okay, we'll still do church, we'll do it in the car park. So we were there fresh after that. What a great story. And can I just tell you, your senior pastors, Pastor Jürgen and Leanne, I love, love, love them. They have been so instrumental in my life. They were youth pastors at C3 Oxford Falls in Sydney, Australia. And I came into the church and I served alongside them in youth. And they were the most incredible leaders to serve under. I loved them. They have this unique ability to literally spend 30 seconds with you. And you will leave that conversation feeling 10 feet tall and it'll carry you for the next year ahead. They are incredible. And my wife and I, we love them. Can we give it up for your senior pastors? They are awesome. They are so amazing. But it is good to be back. We are here for a few dual things to come. And Natalie to attend Cherish. To take my kids to Disneyland because I went there 12 years ago. However, we've just dropped them into your kids' church and I've just said to them, hey guys, I think we can probably cancel Disneyland. You don't need to go. You've got kids' church here on the North Campus, C3 San Diego. So they are out there having a ball, I am sure. And I think we've got a photo of my kids because they're not here in the front row. There they are. This is Sienna on the right, she is 11. Cleo, who is 4 in the middle, and my son Jesse. They are the most beautiful children. They are a delight of my life, and I love them dearly. And I just want to also remind you here this morning, you live in a great part of the world. This is absolutely stunning, this part of the globe. And I was looking at the weather app, at what the weather looks like coming up. Can I just tell you, for the next 7 or 8 days straight, according to the weather app on my iPhone, it is sun all the way through. Can we give it up to Jesus for San Diego sun? It is glorious. It is glorious. Turned it on for our vacation and our trip here, which is great. It is so good to be here. Well, who's ready for the Word of God? Who loves the Word of God? I can just feel it. You're ready for it. Oh, this place is awesome. Can we do dual membership? I'm just wondering, is that allowed? Sydney, C3 San Diego, North Campus. Surely there's something in the Constitution that allows that. We want to jump in. We want to jump in. This place is rocking. Well, let us pray now before we come around the Word of God. Father God, we are so grateful for this wonderful church. We thank you, Lord God, for every single life here that you see every life. And I pray, Lord, as I preach this morning, that you would open our ears and our hearts, God, to receive what you have for each and every one of us. We thank you for the Word of God and the power in this to change our life and move us forward. We give you praise. We give you glory in Jesus' mighty name. And we all said, amen. Well, the title of my message here this morning is The Heart of the Matter. The Heart of the Matter. Now, I'm someone who loves sports, particularly team sports. And back in Australia, I always loved to play sports. I played this really wonderful game if you live in Australia, probably quite bizarre game if you live in America, called cricket. Anyone ever heard of cricket? It's like you've got a piece of wood in one hand, you've got three little stumps down the other one. Someone runs in as fast as they can, and they can't bend their elbow or throw it to you. They've got to keep it straight, and they come up like this. And they bowl it to you. Love the sport. It's a bit of an Australian summer sport. And I grew up playing it and I loved it. It was a cool sport. I played another sport called rugby union, which is a form of football that we have in Australia. Now, in Australia, we have lots of forms of football. There's one called rugby union, one called rugby league. We have Australian Football League called AFL. They're all different and wonderful. If you want to try and explain rugby union to someone in America in 3 seconds, I would say this. We don't pass it, throw it forward. We pass it backwards. And we have to cross a line. We put the ball down. We don't keep running. So there's rugby union in 3 seconds. We all got it. Anyway, great sport. I loved it. And I loved playing that. I was a golfer. And obviously, that's a bit more of an individual sport. But I loved it when I got to play for my club and get together with other golfers of my age and go and play other sides around our city. I just always loved team sports. So in the Word of God, there's a story that always just stood out to me. And I loved it. It was the story about the four friends who carried the paralyzed man to Jesus. It's a stunning story in the Word of God. It's just a beautiful story of four guys who decided to pick up their mate and take him to get his miracle. And I love the story because they get to this house where Jesus is, and it's so full. They just, you know, most mates will go, oh, we'll just give up. Bad luck, buddy. Looks like you're stuck on the stretcher. No, these wonderful men, they go, no, no, there's got to be a way. They climb on the roof. They take the tiles off and they lower him to Jesus so he can get his miracle. It's a great, great story. But recently I was reading this story and something else in the Word of God stood out to me. You see, this guy got two wonderful things that day. The first one was he received forgiveness for his sins. That's actually the biggest miracle he got that day. And then also later in the story, he did receive his physical miracle that day. But right in the middle of that, in the Gospel of Mark 2, starting in verse 6, it says this, "And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man," talking about Jesus, "speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, "Why do you reason among these things in your hearts? Which is easier to say to the paralytic, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise, take up your bed and walk'? but that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. He said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed and go to your house. Immediately he arose, took up the bed and went out in the presence of them all. They were all amazed, glorified God, saying, we've never seen anything like this. But the thing I want to just point out for a moment here this morning is the scribes. We have this collection of people who had great head knowledge about the Word of God. But Jesus points out to them something, and it wasn't their external appearance. It was what was happening on the inside. It was what was actually happening in their hearts. It was what they were contemplating and thinking. And I don't know what they were doing this day, but they wouldn't have been leaning forward in their seats like we are this morning. They would have been leaning back, maybe sitting on the ground, arms crossed, maybe whispering to each other. But there's one thing for sure, and that is that they were missing out on something mighty and wonderful right between their very, right between their eyes, right in front of them. There they had the Son of God, Jesus himself, teaching with wisdom, forgiving sins, healing the sick. But there they were, because of their heart, they were missing out. There was only a small collection of people in history that have had the privilege of being right before Jesus in the flesh. But their heart wasn't in a good place. And Jesus, he jumps on it. It says immediately. He wasn't content with how their heart was. In Matthew 5:8, Jesus says this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. See, when our heart's in a good place, we get to see what we're meant to see. We're meant to see God on the move. We're meant to be so aware of how he's working in our lives and the people around us. But like these scribes, if their heart's in a bad place, if our heart's in a bad place, we're going to miss out. And I don't know about you, but I want to be there to see all that Jesus has for me. So I've got to make sure that I myself have my heart in a place so I can have all that I'm meant to have in this life. The state of our heart is so important. In Proverbs 4:23, it says this, above all else. Can we just all say that? Above all else. Guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. The NLT says, for it determines the course of your life. That's a big scripture. Above all else. Above all else. Why? Why would Solomon be saying above all else? It's because of the value of our heart. It's a big call. He's not saying if you get around to it, kind of be nice if. No, it's really saying make this top priority. Above all else, make this top priority to have our hearts guarded. We need to guard our hearts. And no matter how good a leader, a pastor, a father, a husband I am, I can't guard the hearts of anyone else in my life, but I can guard my heart. It's up to me to guard my own heart. It is my responsibility to guard my own heart. And we shouldn't guard worthless things. Back in Sydney, Australia, we have our bins collected every week. We have wheelie bins. So in our house, it's always the terms used, Wednesday nights, bin nights. So it's on Wednesday night that I get the bin and I walk down the side path of my house, I open the door and I wander out with my bin and I place it on the curb. Now, although we say that Wednesday night's bin night, guess when the bin gets collected? It's Thursday morning. I leave it unguarded all night long on the curb. My trash, the garbage. I leave it out there all night long. But I don't care about it. Someone wants to come and steal my trash? You're welcome to it. It's trash. I don't need trash. Sits out there all night long. But we're told to guard our hearts. Why? Because our hearts are so valuable. They are so, so valuable. It's the essence of who we are. Our hearts are our authentic self. It's the core of your being. It's where your dreams, your desires, your passions live. It's the part of us that connects us with God and with others. We need to be so protective to make sure there is no corruption in there. Because it's the source of everything. Because this scripture says, for everything you do flows from it. Other versions say, for from it flow the springs of life. It is a wellspring of life. So it's really saying it's the source of everything in your life. Your heart overflows into thoughts, words, actions. If you plug up a spring, you stop a flow of water. If you poison a spring, that spring becomes toxic. On either scenario, what's later on down in the river streams is no life. So if we're told that that heart is a wellspring of life, man, we need to do a really good job guarding it. We need to do a really good job to make sure it is in a good place. The condition of your heart today affects your future tomorrow. So if your heart is unhealthy, it impacts on everything else. It becomes the biggest threat to us personally. Oh, it'll pull us off course so quickly. We won't find ourselves in the sweet spot of life that God has for us. It can go on to affect our calling, our ministry, our work, our family, our friends. Therefore, it is imperative that we guard our hearts. Too often people just get it in a bad place. And we spend a lot of time making the outside look good, and that's, I'm all for it, looking after ourselves, making ourselves look the best we can. But we've got to make sure that we balance it right. And we make sure that first this thing is in a good place. Let's not be missing out on a mighty move of God. Those scribes, they were missing out. They were missing out on what Jesus was doing. What a shame. It's a matter of urgency. And our hearts matter to God. Proverbs 21:2. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the hearts. He weighs it. And he really does know what is going on, doesn't he? You know what is in everyone's heart, says in 1 Kings 8:39. So from your home in heaven, answer their prayers according to the way they live and what is in their hearts. You know, David was elevated not because of looks, bank accounts, skills. It was really all about his heart. It's why God took him so high. It was all about him. He had a heart after God. It was about his heart, not the other things. So here today is a really good day to just make sure what's going on in there, that it's good. And if there's things that are a little bit off course, if things aren't quite right, today can be your day to get things back on track. Because even David, he made mistakes, he made errors, but he had his chance to bring up. He's the one who's cried out to God, oh, create in me a clean heart. Because his heart, it went off track, but who knows that God is good? Who knows he's a faithful God? Who knows that he's with you and for you and he wants to carry you forward? Here today, it doesn't have to go any longer. And we've really got to make sure that we just do our best at this. It's really important. And I don't know what it is for you here today. Could be some poor attitudes in there. Maybe it's some offense. Maybe there's some bitterness, some anger, some shattered dreams, some disappointments, some jealousy. But what would it be like if you were to get a scanner and put it across your heart today and see a result? Because really, we're the ones to make that call. God knows and we know, and that's about it, really, what's going on in our hearts. And I believe today can be your day to walk into your new day of freedom, to walk into where God wants you to be, to position yourself where he wants for your future. If we could just spend a moment to look and see what's happening on the inside of there. Because it's really important. Because sometimes we, you know, things kind of go wrong and we just hold them in there and then we end off way off the target where we should be, which isn't good. In the 2004 Athens Olympic Games, there was a shooter in the 50-meter rifle category. His name was Matt Emmons. He's an American. He was winning. He was in the gold medal position. He was a mile ahead the rest of the competition. Came down to his very last shot of the Olympic Games in this category. He'd been shooting so well, he didn't even need an amazing shot to get gold medal place. Just average. He was so far ahead. And as Matt pulled up his rifle and he looked through the scope and he pulled the trigger, poof, he saw it hit dead center. And with that one shot, he went from first place to eighth because he hit the wrong target. And you see, what would have started off as only a couple of millimeters off target, right where he was standing, ends up 50 meters away, been a long way off where he needed to be. And I just know in life, if we don't start dealing with things all the time and when they happen, we end off skewing way off where God wants us to be. So today can be the day to get things back. Today can be the day to bring things back. Today can be the day for you to get going on the pathway that God has for your life. Yeah, let's give God a round of applause because he's going to do something here today. So I mentioned a few things there, what it could be for you, but I'm just going to spend our last few moments here this morning on one, and I haven't mentioned it yet, but I think it's a big one, and I think for too many of us, it gets on the inside, and it is the thing of unforgiveness. As Christians, we are called to live at a high level. We are called to forgive. We are called to not hold grudges. We are called to not to let go of things. No matter how big, how bad, how hurtful, how damaging, we are called to forgive. And things happen in life. It happens to all of us. But we are called not to hold on to these things, to deal with it. And I want to encourage us here today, if there is any unforgiveness in your heart today, today is your day to release. Today is your day to let go. Because life's too short to find ourselves off where God wants us to be. Life's too short to not end up right in the middle of his will. And here today, I want to encourage us that we can go and get our lives back on track, but we need to make sure that we don't hold on to unforgiveness, that we are forgivers. I'm 41, but I went through a journey in my young life that was really hard. I'm one of six children. And in my house as a young boy, things were not going well with my mother and my father. Things were really ugly in the house. And as a young boy, ages like 10, 11, kind of maybe into the early years of 12, I was seeing things no young boy should ever need to see in a family home. And I saw right between my very own eyes a relationship that should always make it to the end of life, not make it. And I was a young boy that was torn in the middle of a mother and a father, and I was pulled as their relationship exploded, as they separated and went their own ways. I found myself completely cut off in my relationship with my father. Zero contact. And for almost 4 years of my life, I had no contact with my earthly father. Zero. I was pulled to my mum's side. It wasn't actually really by choice, but it was a day where there was no mobile phones back then. We were kids and my father had no way to contact me. I was pulled in close to my mum. He was told he couldn't ring the family landline. So I found myself out of relationship with my dad, but also very hurt for the things that I'd experienced and seen in my family home. But a day came where I knew I had to forgive my father. And I sat at the age of about, I think I was 16 or 17 one night, I sat in the back of a church. I sat next to a close friend of mine. I'd been at a 3 or 4 day camp. And on this final night, there was a chance to get anything that was not right in your life right again. And I knew without a shadow of a doubt, I had to make this thing right. I had to forgive my father. So right there in the back of the church that night, I said a prayer. Was it easy? No, it wasn't. But I sat at the back of that church and I prayed a prayer of forgiveness for my father. I prayed to God and I said, God, here tonight, I forgive my father. And do you know what I love about forgiveness? I still have memories. I can still picture the things that I went through in that family home. But pre-forgiveness, those things used to cause anger and sadness and disappointment and all these feelings to kind of dwell up in my body. But the wonderful thing, once I'd released my father of it, I can still picture them, but they hold no power over my life. No power whatsoever for the glory of God, because he once forgave me and we're instructed to forgive others. And then I had to take the step after that of reconnecting with my father, and that was really hard. When you haven't spoken to or seen your father for up to 4 years and you need to reconnect, that was really difficult. I'm so grateful that I did. These days I have a great connection with my dad. I love my dad. He's from a generation I don't hear him say he loves me much, but I say it all the time on the phone. Love you, Dad. Love you, Dad. And the thing was, I wasn't to wait for the sorry before I forgave. Because do you know what? The sorry came 12 years after that date. 12 years after that date, C3 Church, Oxford Falls, at a real men gathering, my father pulled me aside and he said, son, but I couldn't wait for that. I had to get things right in my heart. I had to take the responsibility because it's my heart and I had to guard it. And if you're here today and there's forgiveness to be given, can I encourage you to forgive? There might be something even as I'm speaking and you know it's the big ticket item. Do it here today. Just do it. But if you're here and you may be thinking, can't think of a big thing like that, can I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit, is there some things in there? Because it wasn't that many years ago, I was in a church service at Oxford Falls. I think it was a leadership night and I was sitting on this side of the church and I was about to actually go and lay hands on other people and pray for them. And I heard the whisper of the Holy Spirit speak to me and say, hey, you've never forgiven your mum. I'm like, what? See, there was this situation that had happened when I was 12 years of age at school. I'm at school in the playground in Sydney. That's your first year of high school with all the kids up to, 17 years of age. And I had someone come up to me and mention this to me. Hey, blah, 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 blah. Your half-brother Wayne, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, huh? My half-brother? I'm one of six. My eldest brother, there's a bit of an age bracket, but I'm like, it's just my brother. So I went home that day. I'm 12. I'm like, Mum, somebody said this to me at school today. Can you explain? She's like, oh, yeah, son. Wayne, your eldest brother, he's from my first marriage. I'm like, your first marriage? I didn't know there was a first marriage. Yeah, my first husband, he had passed away. And I, for all of those years, for like 20-plus years, had actually never forgiven my mum for that because I was really hurt. I'm like, I'm 12. I could have handled this information many years ago. But I love what the Spirit of God does because that was in there and I need to have that in the best place possible. So maybe it's even something here today. It could be something little that the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, release that person. Let go of that person. So what it says in Matthew 18:21. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Now you do the math, that's 490. Do we keep a calculation and hit 490 and stop? No, we don't. We keep going. What this means is really the Jewish way of saying never hold grudges. There's no limit on this. We keep forgiving. We keep forgiving. We keep forgiving. And I know this will be hard for some of you. Some of you have gone through horrific things, and I'm so sorry. But every time we read about forgiveness in the Word of God, there's never brackets saying, unless this one's happened to you. There's not a bracket in any of our Bibles that says that. It's something that we all need to do, no matter how horrific, how bad the thing might have been. Release and let go. You might be here this morning and maybe that person's passed, but you can still forgive and let go. As a pastor, one of my highest privileges is bringing people to meet Jesus. But I had something happen a little while ago where I preached a message around forgiveness and I had a young man come up to me a few weeks later and he said, I heard that message. And like you shared, I'd cut off my father. And he came and said, but after I heard your message, I went outside and I called my father. And it wasn't long after that his father passed away. I don't know if there's a higher privilege as a pastor, apart from people meeting Jesus, than things like that, where that father left the earth, but his relationship with his own blood was restored. And that young man does not have to carry the weight of unforgiveness, of not being able to tell his father for the next 10, 20, 30, 40 years. He can release it. So what we're going to do right now, I'm actually going to get everyone to bow their heads and close their eyes, because we're going to give God just a moment in the service right now. A moment for all of us. As I said, something might be as clear as day what you need to forgive here today. But for others of you, maybe now can just be a moment. Just ask. Say, Holy Spirit, is there something for me? Is there someone that has hurt me, that has wronged me, that has gone against me, has stabbed me in the back? Is there someone that I need to forgive and let go? Whoever it might be for you here this morning, family member, a friend, a work colleague, maybe a complete stranger. In a moment, I'm going to give you another moment just to simply say the prayer of forgiveness for them. If it's not forgiveness, but it's one of those other attributes I mentioned before, get ready to ask God for that too. But here for forgiveness. There's someone here today. Maybe you could just wipe heads about, eyes are shut. Just give me a little wave, just so I know. For those that you know you've got to release someone, this can be part of your first step today. Hands all over the place. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. They're just hands saying, yeah, I've got to forgive someone today. There's hands everywhere. I've got to forgive. I've got to forgive someone. That is beautiful. All those people saying, yes, Hartley, I need to forgive and let go here today. Wonderful. You can put your hands down. What we're going to encourage you to do is from your heart this morning is to repeat a prayer of forgiveness for that person. It can be so simple. Just say this. Just whisper, dear God in heaven, I forgive, and whisper their names. Let them go. Release them today. Forgive them today. And ask God, say, thank you, God, you helped me with this. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all look this way. It always feels better. Now, for some of you, it'll be a journey. You'll need to write the letter. You'll need to make the phone call today. For some of you, it's such a big journey. One of the best things anyone ever said to me over this whole thing was start to pray for them. As you pray for them, you'll see that heart. If it's not there today, it'll take a journey of being healed and things restored. Feels better, doesn't it, to release and let go. Release and let go. It's absolutely wonderful. Hey, I've got one more thing here this morning before I hand back. And that is, I mentioned at the start of that story that I love so much about the buddies bringing their mates to Jesus before the physical healing took place. another healing took place. Another miracle took place. And that was that young man had his sins forgiven. The greatest thing in life to ever happen to any of us is to have our sins forgiven. To be able to stand right before Jesus. To be able to stand cleansed before Him. When I was 12 years of age, I knelt down by my bed in the early hours of the morning and I did the greatest thing that I've ever done in life. Nothing will ever surpass the day I gave my life to Jesus Christ. The day I said, I am sorry that I have been a sinner in this life and I am receiving Jesus as my Lord and Savior. There is no greater thing. And from that moment, I have lived in freedom. I have lived with my sins washed away. I became new on that day. It was when I was 12. And you may be here this morning and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and your Savior. In a moment, I'm going to give you the greatest invitation in life to receive that free gift of salvation. Oh, I'd encourage you to say yes to it here today. It is the greatest thing you can do in your life. I'll also give an invitation. You may be here this morning and you've said yes to Jesus before, but you've slipped away. You've found that other things have got in the way and that relationship is really not happening strong and you've found that you've drifted. In a moment, I'll also ask you to raise your hand because I'd love to include you in the prayer. And thirdly here today, if you're here and you are unsure, if you are unsure if you were to go to heaven, if life was to cease, oh, that is not the thing to be unsure. And just in a moment, I'll also ask you to raise your hand because I would love for you to have 100% assurance of your salvation here this morning. So right now, could we all bow our heads, close our eyes for some privacy? And I'd like you to consider, are you right with God? Be honest with yourself, and if you're not, just in a moment, raise your hand, because today we can get everything on track. So if you're here and you've never received Jesus, you've received Jesus but you've slipped away, or you're unsure of your eternity and you want to be 100% sure, I'm going to ask you to boldly raise your hand. So right now, if you're in one of those three categories, say, yes, Hartley, that is me. Raise your hand, be nice and bold. Thank you, I see that hand, that is wonderful. Thank you, I see that hand. Who else is there this morning? Thank you, my friends, I see that hand, I see that hand. Who else is there? You're saying, yes, Hartley, that is me. That is me. I see that hand. Wonderful. Who else is there? You say, yes, Hartley. I see that other hand. Wonderful, wonderful. Anyone else here? I've only got a few moments left. If you don't have Jesus as your Lord and Savior, don't go any longer. Today is your day of salvation. Today is your day to receive the free gift of salvation. Raise your hand and say, yes, Hartley. That is me. That is me. Wonderful, wonderful. I saw all of those hands. It was about 5 or 6 hands. Very quickly, let's all look this way. I would love to lead you in a prayer. This will take 2 minutes. Would you mind in a moment, I'm going to come down from this stage and I would love to lead you in a prayer. Is that okay? There was hands all over the place. Let's stand up and welcome our friends. I would love to lead you in this prayer. This is the greatest thing. Come out of your seat. Come down the front. I'd love to lead you in this prayer. This is awesome. Come down. Come on, this is salvation. Wonderful, wonderful. Other friends that lift your hands. This is beautiful. This is beautiful. If you were next to a friend, ask them if they want to come. This is wonderful. My buddy at the back, feel free to come. Wonderful, wonderful. Fantastic. Outstanding. There's a few other hands. You're cool to stay up there, but say this prayer. One of our team will get to you in a moment. Let's say this. This is the most beautiful thing in the world, receiving the free gift of salvation. So wherever you are, there's other people. Wonderful. Fantastic. Say this prayer. Dear God in heaven, I thank you that you loved me and you forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean today. Make me whole. I thank you that I'm a follower of Jesus and you're with me all the days of my life. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.